What? They're all gone? I am so hungry, man.
It's recording.
Oh, it's recording. Have you not eaten enough today?
No, I haven't eaten anything apart from that apple.
Video.
And those crisps.
And the satsuma. Oh my god, I hate that thing, bruv.
Why
does it keep doing that?
I don't know. And it's not smudged.
What is it? Unless
it's a mirror, isn't it?
It's asbestos.
It's a glass cabinet.
Yeah, we've got asbestos roof.
It's asbestos cement, so it's not actually like anything bad.
I've got asthma.
He always acts like it's not bad.
I got asthma. I'm going home.
It's not. It's not like
give you a present and I'm dipping. It's not
like 2% asbestos anyway.
It's the stuff on the shit, that blue asbestos shit. Yeah. That real nasty stuff.
Like, that's like...
That stuff.
Yeah, we're rolling, by the way, so whenever you're ready.
Oh, we're rolling.
Yeah,
cool.
We're rolling.
Oh, Jesus.
What's this?
1919.
So, we are now in the future. By a week. We had Rach K on last week. Was it?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. What have you done this week?
Not a lot.
No, nothing.
I've
really
still got the same clothes on.
You dirty boy. Filthy boy. So this week we've got one of my friends. I say friend. I say that loosely.
I don't think so.
Okay.
We're best buds.
Yeah, so I got one of my best friends on. And her name is Ellie. She works for me.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait there. Welcome to this episode of the Jimson and Roscoe Show. This is episode 2.
Yeah. Welcome, Ellie.
Welcome, Ellie.
Thank
you. So, first thing we'd like to do, which we forgot to do last week with Rach, was... Yeah. which was about five minutes ago.
Yeah.
Funny.
So, what we're supposed to do at the beginning of each show, the first question was to set it off on a nice mood.
Yes.
Is to say, what are three good things that happened to you today?
Well, number one... I've seen three cats. That was very exciting.
That's good.
Number two, I woke up without a hangover.
Without one?
Yeah, without
Rach
one.
Said that as well.
Without a hangover. Did. That was nice.
She said that last week.
Yeah.
Last week it was, yeah. And number three is I get to be here.
That's
a good
answer.
Thing that's happened to me today.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Sick. All right. Well, do you want to speak about what you do and like where you work and your two jobs?
Yes.
No, you don't even... No, fuck that.
Well,
who are you? What do you stand for? Let's not speak about work. What do you stand for?
I stand for a lot of things, actually. I'm a bit opinionated.
Ain't that the truth?
A lot of things. I stand for equality, good sex toys, sex education.
Yes.
And everyone being happy and cats.
And cats.
Surrounding me all the time.
I'll find my cat in a bit.
Oh, please.
Oh,
what
please.
Kind of cat you got?
Maine Coon.
She's so pretty.
I've got, because I've got chickens in my garden, I've now got rats under the shed.
I like rats as well.
What, real ones?
Real rats. So the chicken food is in the shed, so there's attractive rats.
Oh, so they eat the food.
They're trying to get to the food. So I was saying to my missus, I was like, I want to get a Savannah. She's like, I'm not getting a Savannah.
They're
the cat.
Huge.
Yeah, they're like... So you got like the African Serval cat, and then an F1 Savannah is a domestic cat breeded with a Serval. So it's basically it's got a temp like a bit of a temperament
tiger.
Of a dog. Yeah, it's big. They're very big, pointy, big up ears. But they're like apex predators. You've got to take if you take them out, you've got to have a lead. You've got to have a certain license to have the cat. But I was like,
that sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah, just to get rid of some rats.
Yeah, just keep the rats as pets. It'll be fine.
That's mad. So why haven't you got a cat then?
Well, me?
Yeah.
Because I live in a student house and I'm not allowed. But I have adopted two cats that actually live next door, but I've called them mine now.
What are they called?
Sabrina. And, well, one's actually called Bagheera, but we've called her Shakira instead. Because I just think it's a better name.
Is it?
Yeah, Shakira.
How do you know it's Sabrina, not Salem?
Sabrina, basically, looks like the cat from Sabrina and the Teenage Witch, and I couldn't remember what the cat was called, so I had to call it Sabrina.
Salem,
there you go. See, you can change its name again.
I can't, she'll get confused.
Okay.
She's already got two names.
Oh, dear. I don't really know where to start with you, man.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm a very simple human being.
Yeah, I know. Let's start with, where's these presents, man?
Oh, yeah, I got your present.
Because I wouldn't mind filling it up with some water.
Basically, I wanted to have matching drinks bottles with you, so which colour would you like?
Oh, I'm going to go with the yellow.
I thought you were. This is for you.
Thank you very much.
And I've got a pink one.
Yeah, sick.
Matchy-matchy.
Yeah, nice. Sippy cups.
Yeah. It's got lipstick on it and, and cat hair, I think. Nice.
Have you washed them?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Thank you, Ellie.
No problem
at all. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. I thought we had to have matching ones, and yours has got clouds and that on it.
What, mine?
Yeah, and you love clouds.
What's mine got? Snow.
And you got some rainbows.
Snow and rainbows.
Yeah, happiness. And mine is clouds. This looks like, you know, in primary school when you get told off and you get put on the rainbow.
No.
Oh yeah, you're old.
We get put on a step.
Did you actually?
Yeah, yeah. At my little boy's school, he gets they got a cloud.
Yeah, that's what
we had.
A
black cloud. If you're naughty, you got put on that. Wait,
that's weird.
Yeah,
it's like I think that's like really like alienating a child. It's like
you're
on that side. It's just like
because I was watching something the other day where this woman was saying that when a child has a meltdown.
Mm.
It's the same as, like, I don't mean like a little paddy where they're like, I want this one. I mean like when kids have meltdowns.
Mm.
It's the same as like us having panic attacks.
Yeah.
And it's like actually traumatizing for the
child.
Yeah,
like, yeah. You
know what I mean? It's like, oh, just leave him, he'll be all right. It's like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really? It's the studies that they're doing now on trauma and like,
you're right, mate.
The amount of trauma that is like that you wouldn't know because it's just so unrecognised. It's like things from like your mum not hugging you enough, and shit like that. You just don't even realise. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like these little micro traumas.
Yeah.
Through life, like
add up.
Yeah. Well, I was quite lucky with my mum. I've got insecure attachment to my mum now because she was so close to me that now I can't not speak to her, but at least 3 times a day. I'm awful.
Did you like? I ring her all did the you time. Always used to climb in her bed a lot?
So I like probably would age. Still would now. Straight in the middle of her and Kev. Hi. I'm sleeping here now. All of us.
In Kev?
There. Yeah, I love Kev.
Go on, Kev.
I love Kev.
Go on, Kev.
We've just taken the rails off of my daughter's cot.
Yeah.
And she's in that habit now. I'm coming in, middle of the night, getting in bed.
I used to lie.
My missus is like, put her back in. It's like, nah, she's all right.
I used to lie and say I had nightmares.
Yeah, I bet that's what you're like, mum. Because you and her are like unbreakable bond and that.
Yeah.
Mad.
Daddies and their daughters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We could get to that later if you want.
We can.
Laughing, but it's a serious matter.
Yeah, it is what it is, though, isn't it?
It is.
I've got Kev, so it's all right.
Yeah, go on, Kev. Big up, Kev. Boom, boom.
But did you see the study they did where he said it was interesting that little boys and little girls.
Mm.
So little girls with toys, girls will go for figures and people and then boys will go for vehicles.
Mm.
No matter what thing they did like multiple studies and they naturally gravitate towards the vehicles
and stuff.
Mm. And then the little girls naturally gravitate towards the figurines.
What do you think that is?
I don't know.
Yeah, because like I'm thinking about it, right? Growing up as a kid, I didn't have like I never had an action man. I never, apart from like that John Connor thing.
Mm.
But then it was more about the bike.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like I had Ghostbuster gun, Super Soaker, Scare Electrics.
Yeah.
It's more things like that.
Do you think it is a natural maternal thing though?
I think personally. Because I was given everything, can I still gravitate towards dolls and teddies and things like that? And I had Scale Electrics, I had trains, I had everything. Can I still only wanted to play with dolls?
Mm.
Barbies and Polly Pockets.
Do you think that there is a lot of pressure put on women now to go and get a career more than motherhood?
I think so. I think it's like this warped idea of feminism where people are like, no, you don't have to be a mother, you can go and get a career. And it's like, yeah, I can do that, but I can also be a mum as well if I want to. Like I can choose to do either, because I want to be a mum. Like I've always wanted to be a mum. I'd give up my career tomorrow to be a mum. That's fine with me. And it's just about being able to do that without people going, no, you should be career driven, that's not feminism. Like, it is me doing what I want.
Is
feminism. And if I want to have 18 kids, I will. In a minibus.
And it's like we were saying earlier, it's like, you know, you can be like career driven and then be like, one day wake up and go, I want a child.
Yeah, literally.
I was never fussed about having kids, and I was like, oh, I'm like, I was quite looking forward to living life as a miserable, lonely old man. But having kids now, like, do you mean? And it's like, as well, I think from the woman's perspective, I think it's, because my missus, she wants to stay at home with the kids. She doesn't want to, like, she doesn't want to do the work and come home. And I think that is, like, vital in the early stages.
100%.
But, like, at the moment, I feel there's so much pressure from so many different places, like, on men and women. Like, do you mean like men? It's like, yeah, you've got to be an entrepreneur. Mm. You've got to go make something of yourself. Yeah. And like women as well, I think it's like, I think it's quite detrimental the how much they're saying, like, you know, you've got to go and get a grade, like, to yeah. match quality. It's like, well, you know, you can still like do that, but like what you said, it's like,
yeah. what if I don't want to?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah
what if yeah. I don't want to?
Yeah.
What if I want to stay working where I'm working for the rest of my life, have babies?
I don't think either like, defines you.
No.
As well. No, it's like, definitely not.
So I mean, oh, I'm a mum, so I can't go and get a career. But then, but do you think that, like, if, say you are in a line of work where mm-hmm. you have to be determined and dedicated at all times, and then you go and have a baby, do you think that you should carry on down that road? Like, oh, how can I put this? So, like, if I go to work mm-hmm. and I work like I've done and worked my way up and now I'm a manager and then I go on to own something and da 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 da, I never have to take that time off to have a baby.
Yeah.
Whereas you do.
I think it's hard.
So
yeah.
would you be happy to pause your career and not move forward to have children and then have to start where you left off and 100%, carry on?
Yeah, 100%. But I think that's because, like I said, I've always seen myself as being a mum. Mm. And I can see why some people would go, no, like, if I'm going to get promoted at work next week but I want to have a baby, I'd rather get promoted first. But me, I want a baby more than I want that career. Like, if I'm happy, I want to be a teacher. If I start being a teacher and they say I get pregnant and they're like, oh, we're going to promote you in 3 months time, but I'm having a baby, yeah. I'm having a baby. Like,
yeah,
that's me personally. But yeah, I see how it could be difficult. Because, yeah, like you said, with all the pressures with people being career-driven now and women being able to go to work, as people say, it's like even pausing to have a child means that people can use that as an excuse for why you're not progressing in your career. Mm. So that you don't have a kid, you have a kid and they can go, well, yeah, now you've had a baby, though, so like now you've got to start from the beginning. It's like that shouldn't happen anyway.
No.
It's not difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, personally.
Yeah, I'm still like, I'm still weird about kids. Like, I see people with their bond with children and I'm like, oh yeah, I do want that.
Mm.
But then there's another part of me and I'm like, I think I just haven't found the right person.
Yeah.
But I know, like, from reading certain books and from hearing certain interviews with different people, especially Jordan Peterson, and him saying, like, you cannot grow up until you've had a child.
Mm.
That's what he said. He was like, until there is someone in your life that is more important than you, you yeah. cannot mm-hmm. truly grow up. And like, part of me believes that.
Yeah.
And part of me is listening to that statement and then looking at my previous relationships, my previous situations, and makes me think, maybe if I had a kid, I might put my ass in gear.
I think you'd be you'd be the funniest dad in the world.
At the same time, I don't think it should be like I'm having a kid to sort myself out.
Yeah, like
no,
a make 100%.
You know what I mean? It's
100%, which is why I haven't had a kid, because I could have done that.
I had, like, after Carvel was born, like a year into it, I had like a massive, like, sort of like crisis, midlife crisis, so to speak. It's like, I took all my stuff offline, was like, completely took myself off social media.
Yeah, I remember that.
And was like, I couldn't handle people. Like, Jamina was just like, fucking. And then I read an article like later on, and it was some woman, and she was a doctor. She was, I don't know what she did. She was like some kind of like psychologist or something. Like, she had a good like set of skill set to know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
But she had like a horrific, horrific miscarriage like later on down the line, and she said it was gory and it was just fucking nasty. And she said her husband, who had witnessed the whole thing as well, and she said where they were like put like so much like, oh, are you okay with her, they said like her husband, who was like there kind of like picking up pieces, was like kind of like just pushed to the side, like, and like after him witnessing just as much trauma. And then as she looked into it more, she was like looking into it, and it was like she'd like proved that men have a testosterone drop after having a child, and they think that the reason for that is through evolution, for a male to be more loyal and stay, they don't want them to have as high a testosterone drive because they want them to be more to stay. So that's that where nature's way of like dropping it. And she was saying that had happened, and it was yeah, then she went on to study that more, and then she was like, her whole thing was like inclusive, like the modern family units. To come back about careers and stuff, it's like now it's like the typical thing of like the man, like, right, you've got a week off paternity leave.
So yeah,
I think it was a week was what I had for both of them. Like, and it's like
a week.
It's a joke. That's what
you get. And you get a week, and then it's like, but it's like, why can't we have equal? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Because it should be. It's a family unit. It's a breaking down of the family unit, I guess. Yeah.
It's like children's attachment. Their first bonding is most important between 3 and 6 months.
Yeah.
So like having a week off at the beginning is nothing. It means nothing. The child's not gonna know any different. It's probably better for you to come off after 3 months and then have that 3 to 6 months with them for them to form a proper bond with you, and then there we go. But I've never understood that whole, because like I said as well, if the mum wants to go back to work straight away and has a baby, but dad's got a week's maternity leave, where's the baby going?
Like
to nan and granddad's or something, and then they're being raised by them, and then they've got a strong attachment to them and not their parents, and it just creates loads of problems. Like it's stupid.
Because it's like, when you're looking at evolution, it's like there was always more than just two people raising a child as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, even like, do you mean it's like,
it's
like, and I think that's been like massive, like for this lockdown as well, isn't it? It's like for the kids, like, do you mean it's like,
yeah, it's been, well, yeah, I can only speak for myself because I don't have kids or have kids around me, but I can't imagine how hard it must have been.
My little sister's
to, like,
9.
Try and teach kids.
Well, I mean, more for the kids' mental, like, do you mean, like, not.
Yeah, but so all being, of it, it's like, all knock on effect, like, isn't it? Yeah,
there's kids that have been born that have never seen any more than 6 people in a room.
Yeah.
Like, that's mental. There was a video that I saw the other day, and they took their child to the park. She's about 1.5 now. Took her to the park, and she stood there. She couldn't understand why there were so many people, because she only knows 6 people.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get nursery. You don't get the little mum groups or dad groups where you can go and bond.
I didn't really think of it from that perspective.
Yeah.
I guess I ain't got the little ones, but like, my sister was like, yeah, I was 14 when I went into lockdown, and she was 16 the other day.
Yeah, that's mad.
And like, because I always think about them. I'm like, they know what it was like before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, they're just about to come of age and be able to like do what the fuck they want. And it's like, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to wear a mask. You're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Mate.
I remember the first lock, like the initial one, like in Twerton, like that, we'd have the helicopter out daily.
Really?
Chasing the groups of kids. Like,
really?
We had the helicopter in the sky because the kids were still mingling in the first lockdown. And it was
regular.
The helicopter was there, obviously finding where the groups of kids were to alert the police to go and break
it's
up
mad.
The groups of kids.
That's mad.
Every day, in the first lockdown.
That's proper dystopian.
It was. Like, I mean, I was like, and it was watching because I was doing like a lot of work in the house, and I was in the garden doing a lot of sanding and stuff. Mm. And every day, do you mean it was like, look up, be like, there's,
to be fair,
there's the
though,
helicopter again.
I live on a council estate at home. I went home for the first lockdown, and normally, obviously, there's about 86 kids. You've got to drive like 2 miles an hour because you will run someone over. Like, they're running around. There's paddling pools everywhere.
And cheap.
And cheap everywhere. But there was, having no one out all day, every day, so strange. It was literally only the sheep, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, my mum was trying to teach my 9-year-old sister all the stuff that she was helping me learn, like, obviously years ago. I'm 23.
Yeah.
And watching my mum have to become a teacher was so weird.
Yeah.
Because obviously you've got a different relationship with your child than a teacher has with them. My mum doesn't want to shout at my sister for doing stuff wrong.
Yeah.
But, well, she gets more frustrated than a teacher would because she's got that relationship of like,
and she hasn't had
come
the
on.
Experience.
It's like, she hasn't got a degree in teaching. No, she shouldn't have to do that.
We didn't bother.
No.
Like, we tried a little bit, and then we were just like, it's not fair on us. It's not fair on him. It's like, it's not fair on anything. It's like, I don't come home and work. Like, I'm home. Like, and like, why should I expect to have to do that? And why am I then going to do that? It's like, nah, fuck that. And the school on this last lockdown, the school rang me up and she said, are you having trouble logging into Seesaw?
No, not so.
Which is the app to upload the work.
Right. Good.
I said, no, I just haven't been doing it.
Yeah,
literally. She was like, oh. I said, well, look, we got his little sister. Like, do you mean it's just not feasible.
Mashing up the household, right?
I'm not a teacher. Like, do you mean I'm not going to like stress myself? I don't want to stress him out.
Just going back to school then, having to listen to a new, completely different person when you should be taught by your parents for like a year. Like, now you're going back and you want to be homeschooled because it was better at home with mum, because every 3 minutes I can have a snack and I've got to sit down in a lesson again, listen to these teachers, and you
think
don't care.
This, think that, don't, please miss, can I go to the toilet?
Exactly. Can I take my jumper off and all that? Like, no, it's not.
Well, it's just mashing like the routine, isn't it? And kids thrive from routine,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, man. 100%.
Mad. Should we get into it then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've kind of gone off on a tangent from... Well, the club was kind of into it because I wanted to talk to you about... Because what did you... You wrote a dissertation on feminism.
I did, indeed, yes.
But it was more... Not so much about feminism. I wanted to talk to you about your thoughts on... I should actually wrote some structured questions, so just fucking...
That's rich. Okay.
But I just wanted to talk about what your views are on fashionable activism, collectivism and individualism, and cancel culture. So
first of all, start with collectivism. Explain what it is.
Yeah. So basically, I wanted to talk about because I'm a big believer in unionism and collectivism. And I actually think unionizing a lot of workforces around the globe will help a lot of places. Like, for example, like these Indian sweatshops or like Chinese sweatshops where if you had unionized workforces, because you've got women there who are working 20 odd hours a day, do you know what I mean? And it's shit. But then the other point of it was the individualism is all kind of mingling in the same one. So the fashionable activism is where people blindly follow things without truly knowing what they're following or what they're getting involved in. So it's so the individualism, should people is where do you find there's a big problem of people not knowing themselves or not following their gut or
yeah
I just wanted to do your views on it, not so much a question, just your views.
100%. Even if you think back to all of that Blackout Tuesday where everyone was posting a black square on their Instagram
with no information
bar a black square filling up whole hashtags where people were trying to prove that the police were brutalizing people, and they've now filled up the whole hashtag with loads of white people putting black squares because their friends did it. Someone that I know put a black square on her Instagram story because she refused to put it on her feed because she didn't want to mess up what her Instagram looked like. And I was like, so you don't care what's going on, because if you're going to post something so everyone knows that you've posted it and go, look, I'm a nice person, look at me, I'm nice. For what? I went to the protest, obviously, in my town, and we had biker gangs pretending to shoot us. It was really weird and obviously quite traumatising because I wanted to do my speech, but I was scared. And there was the same people that used to call me the N-word when I was a kid, sat watching me, clapping me when I was doing a speech. I was you lot, it's you. I'm in this speech that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
And you're sat there crying, clapping, going, oh my God, I'm so sorry I did that to you. And I'm like, you've traumatised me. It's too late. It's too late. But back then, when everything was okay, something dramatic and drastic happened that you've just found out about that I've been following for years and years and years. And now everyone's going, this is wrong.
Yeah.
This is really bad. Did you know, we had a conversation, didn't we, last lockdown, where I was crying because I couldn't turn my phone off because every day I was getting 55, 60 messages of people asking me to explain things to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to explain it because I want to be that person that people come to and go, well, Ellie knows the answer. And I speak eloquently and nicely to people. I don't attack them because as much as I'm frustrated, I want you to know everything that I know. And the nicest way for me to do that is to just explain in the same way that I learned, which was through reading stuff. And I couldn't turn my phone off because when I turned my phone back on, I had about 100 messages of people being like, you're ignoring me. How am I supposed to learn if you're ignoring me? And I was I can't be a fountain of knowledge. I'm a black woman. I understand that. But this is traumatizing for me. And you're further traumatizing me by making me explain to you what you can see in front of you. How did I learn it all through reading books? It's reliving trauma that is so deeply rooted. I was sending people cases from years and years and years and years ago, and they go, I never knew that happened, because you didn't care to learn. How come I know then? You didn't care to learn.
I was speaking to someone and they were saying why now does fucking all my white friends want to just fucking check in on me? You didn't check in on me before. About these issues, why now? And it's
it was temporary, bro. It was temporary.
My leavers top from school, right, I took a picture to send it to my friend, actually, has all over it, it says my M word, my blah blah blah, my I had no black friends. So why is it all over my leavers shirt? My teachers are there. They can see my leavers shirt.
None of them questioned
one teacher
yeah.
went, like pulled me into the office and was like, no, like, don't let this happen anymore. And I was like, I can't see what's being written on my t-shirt. I don't know what's going on. Like, it's on my back. Like, I can't see. Got home, my mum went mental, obviously. Went to the school, and the school were like, there's not really much we can do about it because she's leaving now. Had to keep a diary from year 7 to year 11 of every single time a girl called me, this same girl called me the M-word, and then she turned up at the protest crying and all, saying I'm so inspirational and that. Wow. And I was like, I had to keep a diary of how many times you bullied me.
The thing is, though, do you think, at the same time, do you think that people can change?
Yeah.
And then actually genuinely believe, you know, they're sorry and they're changed and they're trying to actively learn. So it must be hard, like, obviously, to... I don't know, like...
I suppose what you're saying, like, if the way you're born and you're brought up has a lot... Because I remember reading an article by... it's an American woman, and she was from like middle America, like Kansas. Do you know what I mean? Like proper Orthodox Christian territory, like homophobic, racist, like fucking every ist.
You could possibly be.
And that's just the way she was raised, like proper hardcore Orthodox raising. And it wasn't, it's not the norm for someone to leave where she came from to go to a city to go to university.
Yeah.
And she wanted to break the mold. She was like, she was intelligent. She really wanted to go away. And she went away. And she had to unlearn everything she had like been raised upon. And she said like the unlearning process took time and it was hard. Because if that's what's drummed into you, do you know what I mean? It's so hard. And it's like the whole thing of like where they say like, do you mean like if everything on TV like now it's like where they're trying to like diverse it, like make it more diverse now, but like if everyone on TV like your Superman for example, if you're superheroes they're all white, do you know what I mean, and you're growing up and you're only seeing I have no knowledge of it. I mean, it's like thing. For me it's just normal because it's
exactly
like,
so you got, I've got a question on that. So it's like when we were kids, when I was a kid, there was no black superheroes. There was no black like stars of the show.
Nah.
There was of Mice of Men.
Oh, don't
and his name was Crooks.
And what did he do? Nothing. He was a slave. That's it.
This is what I'm saying. So it's like, yeah, I know you've done a dissertation on it. And like, what were your findings with things like that? How do you think? Because I know how it affected me.
Yeah.
I can remember, especially being mixed. It was. Yeah. I didn't have straight hair, so I couldn't have curtains and an undercut, right? And I didn't have afro hair, so I couldn't have an afro.
Yeah,
and I can remember looking in the mirror, trying to get my hair to go straight, and hitting my head with hairbrushes and crying. Do you think that's tied into the fact that we can't see us as heroes or the stars or whatever?
It's
do you
like,
know what I mean?
Yes, I said in my dissertation, so Rennie Edo Lodge wrote Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race.
Yeah.
Unreal book. Like, one of the best books I've ever written. I
keep looking at every time W.H. Smith's. It's like,
so
do I get it?
I'll lend it to you. It's so good. I've got like four copies. And in it, she says that black people are, at best, sassy sidekicks, and then, at worst, the villain. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the same as back... even like in the 60s back then, all of your villains in films were any type of foreigner. And then, as I said in my dissertation, when I was reading these books, like I read The Help and To Kill a Mockingbird. Obviously, To Kill a Mockingbird is one of those books that they make you read in school. They're like, this is amazing, this is amazing. It's not very good. And I read it, and from start to finish I was going, what am I supposed to see in this?
Oh wait, like, sorry. Kelsey's on the buttons.
Kelsey's on the mic.
Come on.
Kelsey, spin the deck. Kelsey's on the deck now. Basically, there's a quote in the book, actually, that it's written from like a little seven-year-old white girl's perspective about how much she loves her dad for supporting this black man who's done nothing wrong.
Okay.
But he's defended him in court because he's a lawyer, so he has to, right? And it's about her love for him and how he's a hero. And then there's a quote halfway through the book that's like, I've realised that mixed race people belong nowhere. And I'm reading it going, right, okay, cool. It's like The Help. I read The Help, and the author, Catherine Stockett, said in it that the only reason she wrote three parts of the book from black people's perspectives is because she needed to, and then she added the white perspective after because she knew that she only wrote from black people's perspectives, no one read the book.
Wow.
And now it's like a multi award winning book. She's a white woman. Viola Davis, who starred in the film, said that she regrets starring in it because it doesn't show the black people's story. Yeah. It shows how nice this one white woman was in rural America to stand up against racism.
Yeah.
It's like, they're all still living. Kelsey snapped. Our flatmate had a DVD of The Help and she wouldn't stop talking about it, and Kelsey got up and just snapped in. Snapped in her. She was like, and then she literally, she had it at home in lockdown. She opened the DVD case and was like, oh, I did snap it, good. Closed the DVD case again.
I'll do it again just to make sure. Yeah.
But yeah, it was hard. And I said as well, because obviously I was raised by my mum, single mother, white lady. I've got two white sisters.
Mm. Yeah, how was it being literally
the black sheep, if you will?
Like, how was it? Do you think as well, like, you know what I mean, without getting too deep, like, do you, like, obviously, can you remember the first time someone was racist to you?
Yeah.
Can you remember what your mum said?
I remember exactly where I was. I was at my friend's house.
Yeah.
And there was a little ginger boy, and I said, "You're ginger," and he said, "You're an M word." I was about six. And I went,
oh, yeah, anagram of that.
And I literally, we're the same. And then I literally looked at him and I didn't have a clue what he was on about. So I went, okay. So I went and told my friend's mum and I was like, I think he's just been really rude to me. Mm. Like, I just think the way he said it with a bit of venom, I think he was being horrible because he's about 13.
Yeah.
Right. And she went, oh, well, I didn't really know what to do. And I was like, okay. So I went home and told my mum. My mum's going ballistic now.
Okay.
Mental. You know what I'm like?
Yes.
That's where I got
your mum's
it from.
Like me.
Yeah. Why am I lucky though? That's from my mum. Yeah. That's from my mum. Like,
why am I lucky though?
That's from. She doesn't have it. Like, she was a first person.
But what
person.
Did she, like, what did she say when you told her?
To me, she said, obviously, that's completely inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
This word means this.
Okay.
Because I was a very inquisitive child as well. I think it's all of the problems I've got. I was very inquisitive. I wanted to know what everything meant. Yeah. So I was like, why did he call me that though? What does it mean? Like, where does it come from? She sat me down and told me everything. I was
could
about
she,
six.
Could she articulate it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had, but my mum knew that when she had black children, she'd have to. Herself. She knew that it was going to. We live in an all white town. There's literally me. And I think now there's probably about 12 of us.
Wow.
But that's it. When I was in school, when I was in school, like, it was me and two other boys in my school. That was it. In secondary school, 1,000 people.
With us, it was like. I think infant school, there wasn't that many black people, was there? And junior school, there was like.
Yeah, Josh Donovan.
There was like a
few.
Calum. There was like a couple.
And then senior school, we had a Mill,
there was
Zach,
quite a few.
Woodsy, Quinton.
There was quite a lot of us in senior
secondary school, wasn't it?
1,100 people in my secondary school, and genuinely, if there was any more than 13 black people there,
wow.
I would have been shocked. Wow. And that's why my mum knew. Like, she knew she was bringing me up in this area, very nice area.
Yeah.
But one day, I'm going to come across these people. There's still old people that sit down the pubs and all going, "We don't like black people, but we like you because we've grown up with you." And I'm like, what does that even mean?
I rang Kelsey once to tell her. It's because they know you, innit?
Yeah.
It's a familiarity.
Exactly.
And people don't like what they don't understand.
Exactly.
So if they've known you all your life, they'll still be like, oh yeah, she's the brown one.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
So, but the thing is, it carried on. It started so early and it just has never stopped. That's the thing. And that's why I knew that half of the people last year that were posting this Blackout Tuesday thing, they're fake as fuck. No offence. Mm-hmm. Like,
posting
how come.
That and then reading Gone Girl. And you can
posting that and then saying the M word in my house. Yeah.
Is it?
So, like, I'm not. That's
what,
not
singing
running.
Along to Chris
no,
Brown?
No, not even. I wish. Not even a bit of Freaky Friday.
No.
None of that. It was literally just a passing comment that I wasn't there for.
Wow.
Because, funnily enough, I'm never there. Whenever the word slips out of someone's mouth, I'm never there. So it's in your vocabulary.
It doesn't slip out. Yeah, it doesn't slip out of your mouth.
It's never slipped out of my mouth.
It's so easy to take out. Like, I come from, like, a white village. I only knew two black people before I came to uni.
Yeah.
So I was rapping along, saying the N word, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But as soon as I met Ellie, she was like, no.
Yeah.
But literally the first time I went, you can't do that, by the way. And she went, okay.
Yeah, but then until you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And that's the thing, that's why you should speak about it, because I don't mind educating people, but it's when I tell you that you can't do it, and it's why, and I tell you why, and then 2 weeks later we're having the same conversation, you're annoying me. Because you don't care. If you don't care, that's fine, but stop associating yourself with me. Because I'm not being around that when I've had to, like I said, I was six. And some random 13-year-old ginger boy started shouting the N-word at me for no reason because I said, you're ginger.
Have you heard the Bob... Do you know Bob Villain?
This is what I was going to talk about. That statement resonated so much with me. when she was like,
he talks when he about going home to his, to his white mum. So Bob Villain, he's he's mixed race. He's like punk, like modern punk. He's like, he's really good.
You'd like him.
You'd like him.
Like
you'd love it.
So he's done a song called "We Live Here."
Oh, is this one you played the other day? Yeah, it was sick. And,
yeah, it's just like, it's so like the rawness, the grittiness. But that bit at the end, like, do you know what I mean? It's just like,
mate, it resonated with me so much because it was like, that's why I asked you that. But then maybe, because my mum, bless her, she's a bit, unless it's a holiday, she don't care. She don't want to learn, really. She's better now. Since the pandemic, she's started like opening her mind a bit to like other ways of life and different things like that. But I remember going home and being like, some kid at school today called me a nigger. And then she was like, don't say that word. And that was it.
Okay.
That was it. I won't. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I said it to my dad. My dad then explained kind of wagwan, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe she wasn't versed in it because she was with my dad still.
That's what I mean. That's what I was going to say. Because my mum raised me on her own and my dad wasn't in the picture. I just didn't feel like it, to be honest. He just said, nah, don't worry. You can raise her on your own. But
just say, nah,
he said,
worry.
Don't worry, you can keep her. but it's actually not funny.
What a silly man.
Yeah, I know, I'm a legend as well.
Yeah, right.
But he, because of that, my mum sort of went, right. And my mum, as in, sat down with other members of my family and was right. Because even in the pandemic, my mum literally said to me, and I love my nan to pieces, but she went, I've never seen you as black before, I just see you as Ellie. And I went, okay. I was like, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, where does that come from? She's like, I don't understand how people are racist to you. I was like, because I'm black now. Like, and you don't see me as black, which is fine, but the whole entire world does.
Yeah.
So all the people that don't like black people don't like me. And then she's like, oh yeah. But my mum sat down with my family, literally as we were probably like 4 or 5, and was like, this is going to start happening soon. You all need to be prepared because Ellie's going to be upset all the time and we're not having it. Like, my mum was in and out of that primary school more than anything. Every day, this has happened because my mum's not letting it run. No. You know what I'm like with not letting things run. Yeah, she's not. she's not having
it. Don't upset absolutely. Ellie, mate.
Ever.
She'll please. Have you.
No, not
she'll
anymore.
She'll ask you. Why am I lucky though?
I'll never forget that. You'll never let me live that down.
Literally,
you'll never let me live that down.
Literally, stood there counting money in the office, and obviously it's a nightclub. So it's loud as fuck. And I'm counting money, counting money, counting money. And I could just hear over the music and everything else, why am I lucky though? Why am I lucky though? And I open the door and Ellie's got some guy strung up.
Of course it was a guy.
Yeah, did he push me? Did he push me?
No.
Yes, he pushed me.
Did he?
No, he pushed me.
He pushed you.
So what happened?
Maybe. I'm pretty sure what might have happened is he like budged into me because I was trying to leave and then I was like, can you not push me please? And then I think he probably said something. I might have imagined it, to be honest.
But I think he says, you're lucky you're a girl.
Oh yeah, he said, you're lucky you're a girl. And I said, punch me then. What do you mean I'm lucky I'm a girl? Punch me. See what happens. I'll be on the floor, asleep, or I'll give you a good scrap, like, do you know what I mean? But I don't do that anymore, any guys.
No, she's
I gave up on New Year's, my New Year's
resolution.
She's
modest now.
Modest every day.
Yeah,
every day
on.
Up to here, modesty. And guess what, guys, you still get tips, I'll let you know. Got £20 from Kelsey's sister's boyfriend the other day.
Yeah,
but no, yeah.
It's good.
That was an accident, and I won't do it again.
What was an accident?
The fight.
Yeah, good. But you got to stick up for yourself, I guess.
I think that's the thing. Like, me and Kels were saying the other day, that time that we were in sub-13, and that man was like, I said, you've got a really nice dog. And he said, do you want to take me home? I said, no, I'd like to take your dog home. And this man is genuinely about 52 and a half, right? If he's 52, maybe in 3/4, like, he's old, bruv. And he just sat there on his own. I was thinking, what a lonely man. The dog comes to sit with Kelsey all night, so we've got a dog now.
Yeah, nice.
And then he came over and started basically telling Kelsey that she'd never get into Hollywood. Like, we don't know where that came from. He was like, you'll never get into Hollywood. She was
did Hollywood come up in a conversation at all beforehand?
Oh, so this is a similar thing that happened to me yesterday when the word girl went, I'd rather fuck her than fuck you.
You went, what?
Yeah, sound.
Go on then.
Thank you for boosting my confidence.
Literally. And then, he literally was like, I was like, mate, can you leave us alone? Because you know me, I'm mouthy, but I'm nice until I have to be nice. Until I have to be nasty. Yes.
Have I got a nod?
Yeah, nod quickly. Nod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you not see the
slug? Yeah. But yeah, so I was like, "Mate, can you leave us alone? Like, we're not really interested." We had random boys come to sit with us because they were worried because he was just stood up like trying to intimidate us. And you're not scaring me. No offense. You can keep trying, but you're not scaring me. Kelsey's laughing in his face now. And then he called me the M word. I heard him, but I was like, "Am I
this
drunk?"
This is the old guy with the dog, right?
Yeah. Am I drunk? Like, because I'm screaming. And then the manager came over and was like, "Right, he needs to go because his dog's being annoying or whatever."
What
and
dog was it?
A Staffy. It was so cute.
Oh,
we weren't going to steal it. I just said, "No, I'm not. I can't repeat that." And then
about
he
the
goes,
dog.
"Yeah." But it was in retaliation.
I don't want to know. Yeah, I know what you're
I'll
like.
Tell you after. And then he goes, I whispered to the manager, I was like, "I'm pretty sure he just called me the M-word." And he turned around in front of, suffering was full, right? Mm. He turned around and went, "If I wanted to call you a fucking nigger, I would have called you a fucking nigger." And I went, I started crying, right?
Yeah.
And there are people from the back of the venue running forward to fight this man. And I'm saying, I feel like I'm in Sparta or something. Mm. I was like, "Jesus Christ, step to the side." She's dragged me to the back. I'm sat there, I'm wailing, crying my eyes out. Yeah. There was one other black boy in there. Do you know what he said to me?
Wow.
Shouldn't cry about things like that. I was like, I get it.
This was all over because we asked someone else to borrow their lighter.
Oh, yeah, I was like, "Can I borrow your lighter, please?" And he went, "You don't want mine then?" I was like, "No." So apparently that makes me a nigger.
I don't know, like, I understand what it's like to be racially abused and the trauma that it comes with. And, like, I think the worst, like, case of racial abuse that I've ever had was so like indirect.
Yeah, same.
That was the last one that got me, and then since then, like, I hear it, but I literally just.
Well, I'm normally very good at ignoring it. The best
but
one
there
for
was
me.
There was the Asda thing, right? So basically,
oh yeah,
a guy accused me of stealing a short change in his wife of £1, right? And it was like a big thing, and he said under his breath as I was going to get my supervisor, because I was like, I gave her the £1, I remember like giving it to her in the receipt, and I was like, "Oh no, I definitely gave it to her." And he was like, "Oh, you're a liar I was like, "All right, cool." He was South African, and he was like, I was like, "Look, I'll go get my supervisor and she'll open the till and give you the change or whatever." And as I was walking off, he said, "Your kind might be skint but we're not." And I was like, it didn't really like click what he was saying. I was just like, went and told my supervisor, told him what was said, came back over, and I was stood maybe 3-4 meters away from her. She was having a conversation with him, and he turned around and went, "He's a thieving black bastard," blah 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 blah, and that's all I heard. And then I was like, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah,
and then she walked into customer service and gave him a full refund on his shopping and the DVD, took the trolley off him and went, "Get the fuck out. If you ever come back in there, I'll smash your head in."
Nice.
And then she came over screaming, ranting, raving. And I was just stood there and she was like, "Why are you so calm?" And I was like, "Because this happened and it's going to happen again. And that guy is ignorant as fuck."
Do you find this it different? It's different with generations, or do you think it's just as bad in this generation as it is with previous generations?
The problem with this generation is their fakeness. So they're. But I can say it in a song because I'd never say it to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you can't, because I just said you're not. Their nan will call me the M-word and not care. I can't do anything about
and
that.
And they keep that consistency.
Exactly. And they honestly, well and truly, what am I going to do to someone's nan? Do you know what I mean? Like, leave it out. I just won't speak to you ever again. That's fine. Them, on the other hand, still want to be my friend. Still want to consume every single part of black culture. Still want to be around me and my friends all the time. But still want to scream Chris Brown lyrics all the time. Like, it's simple to not say. You can just close your mouth.
But I've got black friends.
Yeah, or the person I bought my dog off... their nan's black, and I'm like, oh, what does that mean to me? Or my cousin's going out with a black man. I don't care. Like, but that's the problem with this generation, is they are so quick to jump to the I'm not racist. And I'm like, if you just take the time to listen to what I'm saying and try to educate yourself and try to learn a little bit, you'll understand that I'm not saying you're a racist. I'm saying what you said is racist. There's the bloody cat.
Oh, you got the cat.
You got the cat.
And she's got a little half and half face. She's mixed race.
What is it?
It's a Maine Coon.
Is it?
Is that like an expensive, like, one you got to keep in the house?
I don't know. Give it to Ellie.
She's basically a dog. Oh, she knows how to shake pool.
Is it? Yeah. I'm not sure about this food.
Nah, she's just not.
Oh, Shakespeare.
That's massive.
Can't take
Why
me,
is
apparently.
It so big? That, just take that
Why are you holding it like that?
Simba, everything the light touches. On some Rafiki business, isn't it?
Are you stressed? You'll still eat that.
Yeah, I don't really like them things, you know.
Do you like dogs? Yeah,
I like dogs, but not
one. You used to be petrified of them, though, didn't you?
I still am scared. My thing is, anything that I can't kill, I don't like.
So you don't like horses either?
Huh?
Do you not like horses?
No. So horses are different. Like, but like, what I mean by that is, like, if a dog can eat me, right, which I think quite a lot of big dogs could eat me,
yeah,
I'm not cool around them because I can't protect myself against. Mm. I'll never just hurt an animal for the sake of hurting an animal.
No, I know you wouldn't.
But yeah, little dogs, man. I like Sunny.
No, Reese's I hate dog. Little dogs.
That's my brethren.
Reese's dog's the only little dog I like. I like big Rottweilers.
No.
And all that. Because I look at them and they're just babies to me. I'm like, oh my God, look at you. You are so cute.
I was looking at...
Little ones are yappy.
I was looking at getting a dog. We haven't got one. I don't know if I'm going to get one. But I was looking... It whittled it down to either a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog or the Russian one. What's it? The Caucasian... This is like a bear. But when I looked into it, right, they were saying the trouble with the Russian one, because they're both really healthy dogs. They're the most... Because most pedigrees have really got loads of health conditions because they've constantly been bred with their brother. And so they're a bit like the royal family, don't you know what I mean? But the... So this bear type one, this Russian one, they're saying the trouble with this one, they said it's a real good family dog, but it's no good if you've got, like, say your kid is playing with another kid and the other kid pushes your kid, the dog will maul the, but they're like, yeah, do you mean it was just literally like,
yeah, scary,
but the dog's like beautiful.
Dalmatians are like that as well, though. Dalmatians are really good with kids, but only kids that you have in your house.
Yeah.
So if you invited like a kid over and your kid started crying, they'll have them.
Oh, and then
my uncle used to have a dog, a staffy called Star, and everyone's obviously like, be careful. I used to sit on its back. He used to ride me across the living room and all, having a wade of a time. And then the only dog I've ever been bit by is a Yorkshire Terrier, and he took my fingers off.
Yeah.
And that was a tiny little thing like this big.
Yeah, I just got intimidated by big dogs. I've been attacked by a bear of them. Yeah. Being a postman and, yeah.
Yeah, postman one.
Markled by the Dobermans.
I like Dobermans. I mean, they're cute.
But then Dane, obviously living with Dane.
You got used to her. Do you know, I did a job for a while as a gas and electricity meter reader. I didn't do it for a while. It was only a few months. But they gave us mint spray for dogs.
I had pepper spray when I was a postman.
For the dogs, yeah. It's a spray that the dog, it neutralises the dog apparently. Like,
that's
the mint.
Mad.
And it's like, I don't know if it's actually detrimental to them or not.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. I never used mine. I think I lost it.
Did you know, I feel like you'd pepper spray yourself for fun.
Man!
I feel like that's
something you'd do. Dane is the type of person that does that.
Being pepper sprayed is horrible. Have you been pepper sprayed?
No,
it's horrible. I remember outside, right, Fort Second Bridge, it was Babylon. It's when the old bus station was there.
Tony, what are you saying that to
her? Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I was in the womb.
But I was there and it was like, it was all kicking off. It was fighting and that. And then, like, do you mean, like, the police just started fucking pepper spraying the place. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I started, like, being in Berlin. And I was nothing to do with the fight.
Directly in the face.
Yeah, and I was nothing to do with the fight, just a bystander. And subsequently ended up getting nicked. Because I'm kicking off after fucking getting pepper sprayed, you know what I mean?
I said the only time I've never nearly been arrested is twice. Once when we were in work and they thought I was a drug dealer when it wasn't me.
What? I can't remember that.
While she was working.
No, you weren't there.
Is there meant to be a light on that?
What do you mean?
Is there meant to be a red light on the camera?
No, he's just recording.
I can't see it.
It's right there.
Sorry, carry on.
Start again.
Anyway, back to me. That time, and then the other time, I was outside McDonald's, and this girl said, randomly, I was having a little smooch with this boy. And,
As I do,
just a small white man.
Did you have your mask on?
No, this was pre-COVID stuff. And she turned around and tapped him on the shoulder and went, did you know that's how everyone got AIDS? And he went, what? And she went, kissing monkeys.
Wow.
So I went mental.
No, like, how does that come out of people's mouths?
No, it's fine, because her brother told her. That's what her brother told her, so it's okay. So now I'm going mad. Kelsey's calm but going ballistic. The police turn up.
I'll deal with it.
The police turn up and they were like, you have been the aggressor. as I haven't, because I hadn't swung for no one at this point. In fact, Kelsey had me pushed up against McDonald's, so I didn't do anything. I was like, I haven't touched her. She's sobbing, you know, like, oh my God, she's so scary. I'm 5'1". Like, I'm not scary.
Yeah, and but that's how we've been painted,
isn't it?
Especially you.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's so, the aggressive black woman, isn't it?
Talking about that, and then going back to, like, why you think this generation, or your generation, you're saying? Like, or...
No, like, I see...
From, like, are mine and Ross's as well? Or...
I think we're more blatant. Yeah. I think their generation, it's more subtlety. And this weird, like, that... Like, but that's not very subtle, but they...
But I'm just not racist, because I didn't call you the M-word. So yeah,
where that's what older people are like. Think... They're like, Nick Nog, this, yeah. that,
I mean, love my gollywogs.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? They're not like, they don't say like...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, indirect.
Insidious, like...
Yeah.
Because I can deal with that.
Where do you think the fakeness comes from, though?
Oh, it's social media.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's being a performer and having a presence and going, I want people to look at my... Instagram then let's say and go I am so lovely, look at me, I've got some nice pics at a protest where I'm posing in front of people sobbing. Like, there was one picture from my protest that I really didn't like, and I'm crying my eyes out, my sister's like passing me a tissue, it's a really nice photo, but then everyone else in the background's just smiling along, and I'm like, we're sat there kneeling for 9 minutes, my mum, me, my sister, my stepdad and my baby sister are in tears, and there's people just around us that you can tell some of them have gone there to say they've gone there.
Yeah,
and that's fine, because if that's the sort of thing you want to put out, that's fine. It's the same as those protests about Sarah Everard the other day, when people go in and take a picture of the flowers. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? What does that prove to anyone? You're tagging, oh, look where I am. Like, I went to a protest. But you didn't. You went, you took pictures and you went home. And you got home safely, because we had to leave 20 minutes early from my protest, so we had to convoy with the police so we didn't get followed home.
Wow.
Like, it's not... It's,
well, was that everyone from the protest?
Yeah, it was. So basically, because obviously the only black people there that were from the town were me and one other girl. One other girl and two boys. And then there was a couple of black people that had come from like the surrounding areas. There was like probably 9 or 10 of us, and there was about 300 people there. And... they all, obviously, they can all get in their car and go home safely.
Yeah.
And I've got the police saying to me as I'm trying to leave, they're trying to say, like, thank you for your speech. And the policeman, like, you need to go now. Like, go now, go now. Because there's people waiting all around. And I had to put every single part of my social media on private. You can't add me on any social media unless you're friends with one of my friends. Because my sister had to take off where she worked from all of her social media. Her workplace now can't post pictures of her all the time, because we went through a stage where... we were really worried. The two girls who organised it got followed home. They had people hanging around outside their houses. They're ringing the police, and the police were like, oh, if they don't do anything, you can't really do anything.
Because I remember seeing the videos of, Jinx had posted one of the ones in Bristol the other day, actually. There's some fucking guy from Devon, like, James Blakely, like some kid there, asking him, like, why he's protesting. He didn't even know why he's protesting. Yeah, and then I remember seeing ones as well from the ones in America. And, like, it was like three black ladies, and they're like, having a go at these two, like, white, sort of maybe like early 20s, and they're spraying on the wall, they're spraying BLM graffiti on the wall, and like these women are like, we live here. Do you mean they're saying, yeah, we live here, like, do you mean, what the fuck are you doing? Like, do you mean you come down here, we're gonna get blamed for this? Do you mean it's
cool? 7 minutes
left.
Right,
we're just talking to the sign language.
Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like they're saying, like, this is our community. Like, do you mean you're coming here? You're coming in here. You're like, you're fucking smashing it up. Like, do you mean it's like
for what? As well,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like those videos of people bouncing skateboards off windows and all these people are white. But who's getting arrested?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they've got bare black man in handcuffs all along the road, and these men have literally been the ones that are standing there going, "Hands up, don't shoot," protesting peacefully, and my man's banging his skateboard off a window and walking home.
Yeah,
like.
Standard,
because it's like the whole thing with the police as well at the moment. It's like I don't know whether this was ever real, but like, you know, when you like look on like programs, you got like the local policeman, and he like knows the people in the area. Yeah. Like, and people say like, oh, remember when that was? That? I can't ever remember that. I don't know there was a local policeman.
We've got one police officer that everyone.
But like, how? Like, I think with the police, like, they've become so like detached and so like authoritarian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like
they're officers.
They, yeah, like with like yeah. the police should be there to serve. And why is there needs to be something to happen, and it's beyond my scope of knowledge, but like how do we get back, or how do we go into a situation where the police are localized? You should have like a couple or a team of like four or five just with one area. You
understand the community.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got to be people that come from the area.
Exactly, yeah.
My next door neighbour, Rog, that's what he was, bruv. Mm. Everyone knew him. Everyone, like Durbin, like all of us, we all knew him. And he was the one that was catching us doing naughty shit. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, remember 24 Hour down on... next to Sainsbury's garage, Durbin had a fake idea in that, go in there, come out of a crate, go around the corner, pull out a couple of bottles, and he'd be like, he'd literally come around the corner, right then boys, we'd all have our hoods up and that, so he doesn't even see his ass. Then he'd clock his ass and be like, oh, you're all from my street. He'd be like, right, where'd you get that from? All quiet. Right, we got it from 24 Hour. Who bought him? Durbin, he's got a fake ID. So he's gone in with the fake ID and he's like, right, let's go in there. They've gone in the shop and he's made him, the guy in the shop, give Durbin a full refund, even though we drank like four beers between there and the fucking end of the street. Full refund. Right, if I catch you again, I'm going to tell your parents.
Mm.
And that's worse than anything else for me at that age. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, it was a community thing. Like, that wouldn't happen now.
No.
You get nicked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's why people... That's a respect thing as well, isn't it? Because when you know them, you're like, oh, I can't. He knows my mum and dad.
Yeah.
And he will tell them.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll be off duty. He'll just knock on the door and be like, by the way, I saw Ross doing this the other day. Now, it's everyone's pulling up in cop cars at the house. No.
And it's over the top as well. It's always like way too many. And it's like,
when I nearly got arrested that time outside of McDonald's, there was 9 police officers because this girl phoned the police crying, saying that I was scaring her.
Yeah.
And 9 police officers turned up. And I'm stood down thinking, I don't know what all 9 of you need to do here.
I'm not gonna lie, I was worse than you though.
Yeah, exactly. But Kelsey was the one who stepped in and went, if you're going to take anyone, you probably need to take me because I'm the one who's been screaming in her face.
Yeah.
And I was stood there going,
anything that happens now, I say to Ali, you stand aside, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
I'll stand in the corner, like this.
Yeah, it was the same as when I got attacked in town on my birthday. Remember that? We were walking through fucking... You were there, weren't you? When we went to Wagamama's. Then we went to Primark. We were walking through town, walked past Primark. That kid with the big ginger afro just came out of nowhere.
Oh, from Swindon.
Sparking everyone.
Yeah, I do remember.
And they had me on the floor, and the only person they wanted to nick was who?
You, I'd imagine. Yeah.
And I'm stood there with a massive thing on my arm, all like taped up because I'd broken my finger.
Was this the night with the. When who was there? Me, you, Noah,
me,
Daily.
Me, you, Noah, Daily, yeah. Soul, like loads of us. And it was just literally straight away. Right, we're arresting you. I was like, what do you mean arresting me? I've just been assaulted. That was when my shoulder was hanging off.
Yeah. But it's as soon as you open your mouth, it's now you're talking back. Now you're not respecting authority.
Nah, to be fair, lucky because I had the marshals there, innit? And all the marshals knew me. So when she was like, right, I'm arresting you on suspicion of assault, I said, no, you're not.
Mm.
What happened to the swimming guys? Did they get arrested?
They got away. Well, as in they let them go.
Right, okay.
Because I was like... They were like, do you want to press charges? And I said, if that girl's got mental health issues, I don't want to press charges.
Because
she looked mad distressed.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, well, if she's not very well, I don't want to press charges on her and all the rest of these people. Like, because really, she went mad and ran at Daly with a stiletto and hit him in the back of the head with it.
Fuck.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So then it just escalated. So then they've, obviously, the other kids seen... like Daly being like, what the fuck, and turning around, and that's when they were like, he's starting on a girl. And that's when it just escalated out of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that was interesting. We're arresting just straight away, man. Police are always after us, man.
But it's the thing is, how do you have to, it's peak that you have to learn that, innit? Like, my mum told me from earlier, she was like, you need to be careful who you're hanging around with, because my friends used to do naughty shit. Like, the worst thing I did was, like, go into the farmer's field and, like, mess up his hay bales to make a den, do you know what I mean? And he chased me with a machete and all.
Why?
He came in on a tractor, and I was like, don't worry, guys, tractors aren't that fast. They're quite fast. quite fast when I'm trying to jump over a barbed wire fence. Like, they're quite fast. Yeah, he chased us around the field with a machete, called the police.
Mm.
Why are you talking to me? Like, all I did was climb over the fence and say, bring my duvet over. They'll just take it from my house and go, I'm sorry for messing up your hay bales. What do you want me to do? Put them back? Because I will. Like, it doesn't bother me. But yeah.
Chase you with a machete.
Yeah, I was scared.
1 minute, by the way. 1 minute?
Mm. Fucking hell, that was
you did ramble on, didn't you? Right.
So I'd like to have you on to talk for longer.
Yeah.
So
I think we can I'll come back if you want.
I think we can go deeper into stuff.
Yeah.
I think we only scratched the surface on
things.
Yeah,
I think we do.
I'm a very complex human being.
Well, we can do part B's and C.
Yeah.
C,
D, E, F. I'm
so we've only got
now.
1 minute. Yeah. Oh, I want to do something funny for the last bit.
You were going to do questions.
We have got to ask you
your personal
meaning of life.
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say something really...
Cats.
Cats and babies. No, for me, it's just doing everything that I've ever wanted to do. Do you know what I mean? So cats and babies really are. But just, I know being happy is cliche, but happiness to different people is different things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's cats and babies. But I just want to make sure I'm happy, make sure my family and my friends are happy. And that's good enough for me.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, I could go along with that, I guess.
I guess. I guess.
What's that? How many minutes?
1 hour and 23 seconds.
Oh, fuck it. Let me do this one more thing. Right.
I'm
just
stuck.
quick fire, yeah?
Okay.
Right? So one's got to go. Rabies or nosy supermarket security guards?
Oh, nosy supermarket security guards, 100%. Get them away from me. Stop following me around Boots. I've actually got money. Stop following me.
What happens if a squirrel gets you with rabies?
That's not my problem.
Okay.
I can run really fast.
Okay. Cream crackers or wet look hair gel?
Wet look hair gel. I love cream crackers.
So wet look hair gel can go,
It can go ASAP. Do you know how stupid people look when they... Oh, no.
And then when it dries, it goes like dandruff.
Yeah, you know, picking off their head and all. No.
That cheap 30p gel. Yeah,
from
fucking grim.
So, who's buying
bro,
that?
I used to.
These curtains.
I used to... When I was a teenager, when I had hair, I had a undercut,
mate,
middle part in, and that
proper.
Was
so
you wanted to look like
fucking gel.
Used to be the shit.
yeah, that can go ASAP. Get it out of the supermarket.
This is going to be a hard one for you, I think. Hair dye or long ass fingernails?
Oh, my nails can go, to be fair, because look at them at the moment.
Taffy nails. Man.
I'm keeping my hair dye, and I'm going to get rid of these because they're not very convenient for work, are they?
No, they're not. I keep telling you this.
But they look nice when they're all actually done. I've only got 7 left.
So you'd get rid of the nails,
yeah?
All right, Sean Paul's entire music collection, or WAP?
Oh, there's some horn. Because... It's got to be WAP. WAP can go, because Megan Thee Stallion's got bangers, but you can't beat Sean Paul, a bit of temperature.
Yes.
You've answered
the right question. You've come with the right answer.
Okay, good.
The naughty little girl or the naughty little boy?
Oh, no, see, that's really hard. That's really hard. I think because the naughty little boy hasn't been out for so long.
He hasn't.
He came out the other day, and I thought I missed him more than I did. He's actually really annoying. I want the little girl to stay because she likes fish and chips.
I like the boy.
Yeah. No, I think the naughty little girl... Hey, can we keep Peter either way? Oh, old man Peter.
Yeah, Peter can stay.
Yeah, okay, we'll have the little girl and Peter. That's fine.
So just to finish off, the naughty little girl and the naughty little boy are the ghosts that I invented that live in the club, so I tell new staff members to
and
go
Susie.
Downstairs and go and get stuff, and I say it's haunted, and then I go down there and I scare them.
it actually is a bit spooky, but the thing is, I do believe in Susie as much as I believe in King of the Steps.
Susie's real. Anyway, thank you, Elliot.
No problem.
Oh, thanks for the
no problem
cloud.
If I don't see them in work and be fuming.
No, they'll be around.
And we'll have a mug for you soon as well.
Yeah, we'll send the mug over. Well, I'll just bring it to work.
You see me every day.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a WAP.
Yeah, it's not a WAP. It's not a WAP.
It's a WAP. Right,
cool. Right, leg stretch.
You're getting it. Like I did so well not to kick that mic, you know.
You did so well not to see it.
Yeah, I know. I was just couldn't see it. My mum will be angry.
Yeah, well done.
What's the time?
I want some...